We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Atop the San Francisco skyline, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Well, it's great to have you here. Thanks for stopping by on a Wednesday afternoon. We've got some great guests coming up in about a half an hour from right now. A good friend of Raiders fans everywhere, JT the Brick, is going to join us. We've got Scott Baer, who covers the Raiders for CSN Bay Area, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Trey Wingo in the 5 o'clock hour. Matt Steinmetz around 6. Talking a little Warriors hoops tonight. Boy, do we have more questions today than we got answers yesterday. That's what drove me the most nuts. I was thinking about the arc of yesterday's show. We were, 15, 20 minutes away from playing the Autumn Wind as a Pirate. I mean, I really thought that the whole thing looked like it was going to come back to, if you don't get L.A., Oakland will be solved quickly, and that is not at all what came out of that meeting in Houston. Welcome to the Damon Bruce Show. Everybody wants that big Jed York, you own the stadium and control it yourself deal. There's only one guy who's got enough juice to pay for it, and that guy's Stan Kroenke. Look, who needs financing? Who needs financing? The Chargers and Raiders and Bob Iger, doesn't even matter anymore. That guy, just call him Bobby. Bobby didn't get it done. Chargers, Raiders, all the power from Disney that they had behind them, whatever. They got financing plans. You know what Stan Kroenke's got? He's got a checkbook. Your financing plan will never beat the check I'm ready to cut right now. Stan Kroenke is worth $7 billion. He's married to a Walton who's worth more than he is. That's get it done right now money. I'll tell you the biggest lesson that we've learned from the NFL. And the NFL has pretty much come back to this lesson on all fronts. Conversation is better for the brand than finality. Think about it. That's why this is still a vote that still leaves dangling participles everywhere. The amount of dangling that still comes out of this meeting for LA is amazing. So why leave all these open ends? Why not end the conversation? Why do you let this story continue? Because the only finality the NFL wants in any year is a Super Bowl champion, and they'll take as much controversy as possible around that. It's good for business. When it comes to relocation, player off-field issues, suspensions, concussions, officiating, replay rules, point after touchdowns, whatever. It's better to keep the world spinning than stop it on an actual answer, allowing everybody to move on to the next thing. Really, when you look at what's happened with this decision, instead of just having the A's now holding them back, the Chargers are now in as much control of the Raiders' future as Mark Davis could ever pretend to be. Dean Spanos will decide the Raiders' future more than Mark Davis will. The Raiders sent out a press release yesterday. Mark Davis gave his speech yesterday. Neither used the word Oakland. I got to be honest with you. People who are loving Mark Davis, people who blindly root for the Raiders have come back to me and said, look, you know what? Mark Smart, he's still got options. He might not have got his deal, but he's still got options, and options give him leverage, and leverage is how you get things done. Pardon me, I'm not rooting for the option Raiders. I'm not rooting for the option Raiders. I'm rooting for the Oakland Raiders. That's the only option I want to hear out of anybody's mouth. That's it. There is one city that I care about. All other cities are completely irrelevant in the Raider conversation as far as I'm concerned. Call me bias if you will. But I'm not here to talk about the tons of options for Mark Davis option Raiders. I want to talk about the Mark Davis getting it done at home Oakland Raiders. I'm about home. I'm about here. That's all I care about. I don't want now this to solve any other stadium issue anywhere else in the nation. This is its own stadium issue right here. If the Chargers don't take the LA deal, the Raiders can next January. And all the signs coming off of Twitter right now is that Dean Spanos might be pissed off that he doesn't get the whole orchard, but he's not stupid enough to turn down his only bite at the LA apple. And even though Dean Spanos might be chapped this way and that and upset from here till next summer, this is the only opportunity for LA he can get. It's better for him to take the deal he didn't want in LA than to be in limbo, which, by the way, is exactly where the Raiders are right now. It makes a ton of sense for them to figure out a way to sign a one-year deal to play in 2016 in Oakland. That's what I hope they do. I think Oakland should give the Raiders a good faith deal to let them know that they want to quickly move on a solution. But the big problem, and for those of you who want to spin this as it went well, Mark still got his options. The truth is, when the dust settles, after all this, the Raiders still don't have enough money. They've got no new stadium prospects. All of their efforts have been invested in Carson. And I'm sure that they spent millions down there, millions of dollars that they're already worried about, sunk costs to a team that's already cash strapped. And you're not just back to square one. There was no square one with Oakland. So you go back to square zero. It's crazy. It's crazy and it's disappointing that limbo is the reward for Raider fans coming out of the LA relocation meeting. You know, Mark Davis, compared to you and me, is a very wealthy man. Mark Davis measured against most of Americans, most people everywhere, is a very, very wealthy man. He is NFL poor. Wealthy among us, he's a pauper among them. And the truth is, he can't afford to shop in this department store. And that's not being cruel. It's not being backhanded. It's not being a hater. It's being completely aware of what it takes to own a team in the NFL and to really get things done. Mark doesn't have the financial wherewithal, the business acumen, or ability to get things done. And if you don't believe me, look at the NFL. They just basically sent him home without supper. Hugh Jackson will be eating his suppers in Cleveland. We'll have that for you next on the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It's great to have you here. Hugh Jackson is taking the Cleveland Browns job. You know, the 49ers, let it be known that they were going after him, number one. He was the number one choice. And it's a little revisionist history now from Niner apologists on Twitter who want to say, no. They're going to do a lot of interviews. He was never the number one choice. Okay, so let's just use this as a clue. He's the first guy they interviewed. If you want to describe someone other than the first guy they interviewed as their first choice, if you're comfortable with that, if that helps you sleep, You go right ahead. They never made him an offer, and that's that. Why they never made him an offer? Well, only they know that. Did they get cold feet? Did they not like an answer he gave? Did he not like what he heard from the team and basically said, don't bother, fellas, I'm not that interested after all? We don't know what went down. We don't know what was said. We can only speculate why Hugh Jackson would choose one team over the other. Let's just say this, though. What this maybe, if not proves, conclusively demonstrates right now, that anyone who thinks that the 49ers are more attractive than the Cleveland Browns is obviously a 49er fan, or certainly isn't a head coach interviewing for both teams. Hugh Jackson might have more cap space, but let me tell you what he's also got. He's got all the pain in the ass that comes with the state of California, whether it be housing prices, your tax rate, and all that stuff, which you have to factor in. If I'm going to get paid a lot of money in two different places, in which place do I get to keep most of my money? But Hugh Jackson's a Bay Area guy. Yeah, which means maybe he tried it, sampled it, and had enough of the flavor and is willing to. The deal is, if you're the next coach of the San Francisco 49ers, you're not in San Francisco. You're not even close. You might as well, and I really mean this. A lot of people, this is going to piss a lot of people off, but I do it for a living and I don't even care anymore. A lot of places in California are just like the Midwest. Yeah, the local politics, the conversation, who your neighbor dates might be a little different. But the truth is, pretty much south of the airport, all the way down to L.A., California is the Midwest without snow and better weather. And you're not getting, like, a pretty orange bridge to look at, Fisherman's Wharf, all these great restaurants. You don't get world-class cities. You get California paying through-the-nose prices for Midwestern accommodations. And Hugh Jackson can buy a house in Cleveland for $1 million that outside of Santa Clara would have cost him $6.5 million. Now, I'm still young, full of life, and joie de vivre. Isn't that right, Gianna?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. So I still like big city living. I like being here. Like, I got an email today from my girlfriend. We're going to Metallica the night before the Super Bowl. I'm really psyched about that. I'm glad that I don't have to drive in from somewhere else to go to AT&T Park. I can take an Uber ride there.
Right.
I live in San Francisco. I'm happy about that. And then I look at my age. And then I look at my life. And then I look at the money that I've made, the money I'm making, the money that I won't be inheriting from my parents who weren't wealthy. And I ask things to myself that a man, when he starts looking more towards the end of his life than the beginning of his life, asks, like, am I ever going to be able to afford to buy a home in the city in which I live? Am I ever going to be able to afford to send my kids to great schools if that's what I want to do? Am I ever going to have a backyard that I can just open the door and let the damn dog out in? Like, that is a luxury item in San Francisco. It's pretty much standard operating procedure anywhere else you live in America. Like, a backyard is not a luxury item. It's kind of standard on most homes.
But not here.
Not here. And I gave all that up to be here. If Hugh Jackson doesn't want to give that up anymore, if Hugh Jackson isn't titillated by, like, oh, so if I'm the coach of the Niners, it'll be easier for me to get to concerts at the Fillmore? The Cleveland job could look more attractive. Here's also what Cleveland comes with. It comes with an owner that's got crazy deep pockets in Jimmy Haslam. It comes with a much longer leash in terms of turning it around. It comes without Jed York. And Jed York is the guy who will fire you if you haven't won the Super Bowl by week 8. And it comes with the Kaepernick, Blaine Gabbert coaching mess or quarterbacking mess. Hugh Jackson, he can show up in Cleveland and draft Jared Goff second overall and tie his resume to him. He gets kind of a fresh start with the Cleveland Browns. While it still feels like whoever takes the Niner job, your first job is cleaning up the mess of the last 2 years. So, you know, Mike Shanahan, all right, you sound good to you? Because that's what it might be. Chip Kelly, Tom Coughlin, Mike Shanahan. That's what the 49ers are realistically looking at now if they want to hire a guy who's got experience. You come to work for the San Francisco 49ers, you're walking into a toxic environment. You're walking into an owner that has proven he has not gotten anything right besides hiring the coach he then betrayed. And you have Trent Baalke, America's least personable general manager. Maybe Cleveland doesn't look so bad after all, huh? Oh, by the way, it's probably a lot easier to maybe go to Cleveland than it is to coach against Pete Carroll and Bruce Arians four times a year. It's nuts. It's nuts. Still not as nuts as the situation the Raiders still find themselves in, though. I mean, it's unbelievable. Conclusion? Nope. Not. We come out of the relocation meeting with more questions than you had walking into it. How about this? When the vote went blind, people vote their money. That's why you can't trust polls. When people call you on the phone, who are you going to be voting for in this upcoming election? Well, you want to sound worldly, so you give the answer that sounds good on the phone. But when you go into that booth, chances are you're going to vote your tax bracket. You're going to vote selfishly. When everyone was in the room and had to say something nice in front of Dean Spanos, nice things were said. The minute that thing went to secret ballot, it was 30-2.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just all you need to know. Money talks. Spanos has tons of it. Or excuse me.
Kroenke's
got tons of it. And it really looks like Dean Spanos is smart enough to know that if I don't get a piece of L.A. right now, even though it's not the way I wanted it served to me, I'm not going to get it at all. And all the stories coming out this hour is that the Chargers are going to jump on this opportunity quickly. The problem for Dean Spanos is that his guys, Dean Spanos' versions of Al Guido and Parag Marate, whoever that is for Dean Spanos, his guys have been running their yaps for over a year about how much they didn't like the Inglewood project, because obviously they wanted the Carson project to happen. So he's like 100% bad-mouthing the Inglewood project, and he 100% himself and his cronies have been. Their talking point is the mayor of San Diego's crazy. We will not do business with this mayor. Remember, that's the same card that Jed wanted to play on his way out of San Francisco. So, basically, Dean Spanos is caught between conflicting situations and conflicting threats and conflicting promises of where his future lies. What will cause Dean Spanos to eat his slice of humble pie and go to L.A.? Money. Money. I would rather be a slice of Los Angeles than have the whole pie of NFL limbo to myself. And where does that leave Mark Davis? Well, hopefully he got a year's supply of turtle wax out of that meeting. That's normally what they give away when you don't win on the game show. You get a little turtle wax. He's sitting there trying to spend his money after the Wheel of Fortune round, and he's like, I'll take the ceramic Dalmatian, Pat. We should really go to Dan Dibley for all of our Wheel of Fortune information. He has more experience in that than we do.
He does.
Our buddy JT the Brick has been talking to Raider fans for the better part of 20 years. We're going to talk to him next. Scott Baer, who now covers the Raiders, but also used to cover the Chargers. He's going to join us. Trey Wingo's coming up at 5 o'clock. But next, JT the Brick, all over the Raiders, their future. What's it look like? Does he care to take any guesses? Hopefully, because that's what everyone's doing right now. Guessing. on what the 2016 Raiders might look like. And if we wanted to actually, here's this. Let's say I wanted to write Jack Del Rio a letter. Where do I address that? It's coming up next on the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to 95.7 The Game. And if you're on hold, we already got a lot of people on hold today. I imagine that'll be the theme of the week.
I think so.
Everyone wants to talk about what happened yesterday, what didn't happen for the now the Option Raiders. That's what we're calling them. We are the flagship station of the Option Raiders. Yeah, one of the options is Oakland, but, you know, a lot has to come together for that to work. My man JT the Brick has been working on behalf of Raider fans to bring them great coverage, the truth, for a really long time, and we're always happy to talk to him here on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, buddy? How are you? What is your big reaction from yesterday before we get into what I have for you? Just what do you have for me coming out of L.A.?
Well, I thought it was a massive day in the history of the NFL as a business. They got the guy Stan Kroenke to come in and fund what will be the biggest sports complex, biggest sports development in the history of North America, and he's going to fund it all. And the Rams were there before, and it made a lot of sense. And even though the fans in St. Louis had a pretty good proposal on the table, better than the proposal in Oakland, better than the proposal in San Diego, I feel for those fans in St. Louis that had their team ripped away. But even though the committee initially thought that the Carson deal, the six owners, would be good going forward, once they had that silent vote and everybody understood via Jerry Jones and McNair and the business guys that this was an offer they couldn't refuse for Kroenke, you knew that the Raiders and especially the Chargers were left on the outside looking in. I really believe that it was a worse day for the Chargers than the Raiders because Dean Spanos had a scorched earth mentality. I was down there for the Raider game this year. There were more Raider fans than Charger fans. Charger fans waved goodbye at the end of the year. Dean Spanos has no interest at all in staying in San Diego. Now he's got to go back with his tail between his legs, try to do a deal there, and I don't think he's going to be able to get a deal done, and he probably goes to L.A. and becomes a tenant to Stan Kroenke in what will be the greatest stadium of our lifetime.
Well, and the deal is he's got to be upset because he wanted to plant an orchard. You know, he and Mark Davis were going to plant their own orchard. Now all he gets is a bushel of apples, but he's still not dumb enough to come off that L.A. bite of the apple. And all the news today is that Dean Spanos will quickly acquiesce to be a tenant in Englewood and take the deal to get to L.A., which means the Raiders are kind of out of leverage because, you know, San Diego, if they're not going to build a stadium for the Chargers, they're not going to build a stadium. St. Louis has basically told the NFL, go pound sand. We're not going to be in your backyard anytime soon. And I don't believe San Antonio's overtures really sound that good to Mark. Does this leave the Raiders signing a one-year lease to play 2016 in Oakland?
Yeah, most likely. And I think Raider fans in Oakland and the Bay Area will be fine with that until more money can come into play. Remember, Mark Davis and the Raider organization had many plans and a backup plan if Carson got turned down. Everybody knew, Damon, that they were dealing with Stan Kroenke and his billions, and Mark Davis and Dean Spanos don't have that money together to be half of Stan Kroenke or even less. So there were backup plans all along for the silver and black. And if the Raiders have to stay there for another year, Mark Davis got on a plane last night with an additional $100 million. A lot of people are celebrating that point, but there's still so many more complex problems in Oakland than there is in San Diego. Let's go back to San Diego for a second. Dean Spanos doesn't share a stadium with a baseball team. Dean Spanos has two options, downtown in the Gaslamp or in Mission Valley, both unbelievable spots. The Raiders, on the other hand, have inept politicians just like San Diego. The Raiders are dealing with Lou Wolf, who won't get out of the way with more money than the Raiders and build his own baseball stadium. And then, you know, I think the city of Oakland, Alameda's got to come to the table and give Mark Davis that land so then Mark Davis can go out and get more money. That's with an infusion of more investors. And I believe, Damon, and I'll say it on the record on your show, I'm going to say it on mine tonight, there's more money than the $100 million that's going to come eventually to Mark Davis. They got $100 million in the blink of an eye between 2 in the afternoon and 7 at night. That money can go from $100 million to $175 to $200 million as soon as San Diego agrees to go to Los Angeles. So I think that the Raiders are now gathering more assets and trying in good faith to go back to Oakland and say, we have more money than the last time we met. We're open to other ways of bringing in more capital, but the city of Oakland's got to wake up. All the city of Oakland has to do is watch that mayor today in St. Louis. He had a press conference. He admitted he lost, and no one will ever talk about St. Louis football again. Oakland, the mayor, and the politicians don't want to see that happen. Mark's not coming back with his tail between his legs the way Dean Spanos is. Mark's been transparent. He's been talking to the fans and other owners, and I heard this off the record last night, that all the owners, especially Jerry Jones, when Mark left Houston last night, made it clear that they are there to help the Raiders long term. They're not going to forget the Raiders after Kroenke knocked that deal out of the park last night.
JT the Brick on 95.7 The Game. Let me tell you, they need more than $100 million if they're going to help the Raiders find their way, not just in Oakland, but really anywhere. Because if Mark Davis is a quick learner, the lesson that he just learned here is he isn't nearly stacked high enough to sit in this poker game by himself. He needs a bankroll. It's time for him to go and find an investor, whether it means giving up a little team control. If he wants to be a solvent NFL entity, he needs deeper pockets. We now know that.
Okay, a couple of quick things on this. I take it very personal, not from you, but people around the league who want to knock Mark Davis and his mom, who's the owner of the Raiders, for not being worth billions of dollars. There's nothing wrong with Mark Davis and the family being worth hundreds of millions of dollars and not having the money of the Kroenke family that's tied into Walmart.
Right, but that's now
these other billionaires.
Right,
no,
look, they're rich among us. They're rich among us, but that's NFL poor. If the Maras took the lay of the land and said, we need to bring in the Tishes so we can still sit at the big table, Mark needs to come to that conclusion too.
Yeah, and that'll be his decision, and Mark thought that out. Remember, Al Davis thought this out with Mark long before he passed away. Al Davis was not one of the richest owners in the NFL, nowhere near it, before he passed away, and he had a plan in place for his legacy and his son and the silver and black. So for those who are saying Mark isn't rich enough to own a team, no, Mark isn't rich enough to own the real estate, build the stadium, and finance it on his own. That's nothing to be ashamed about. Now, I believe that Mark Davis, along with the president, Mark Bedain, and the Raiders will try to put the best deal together to go back to the table with the city of Oakland. But Damon, you know this. The city of Oakland's to do more. I'm not talking about them giving the Raiders free money, but there's ways around making sure the Raiders could work within the Coliseum Authority, with the land and the ability to work with them. They haven't brought a real deal to the table yet. It's time for both parties to negotiate and keep the Raiders in Oakland.
We can go on and on and on about this, and that is my biggest disappointment from yesterday, that this conversation remains in limbo, and it just goes on and on and on, and there's very little conclusion for the Raiders when we thought we were finally going to cross the finish line on this issue.
Well, wait a
second.
And
we keep going about it. And that's good for my business. It's good for what I do for a living. I just want the Raider fans that I talk to every day to know that their investment of their time, their money, their energy, and their loyalty is not going to come back and slap them in the face.
Well, I don't think yesterday when you were preparing your show that you believed that deep down Dean Spanos and Mark Davis had a slam dunk in Carson and Kroenke was going to get left out with what is now obviously understood in a vote of 30-2 to be the better development and the better deal for the NFL and the billionaires long term. There's always been a backup plan, but it's more complicated in Oakland. What I find fascinating now, as we move this topic forward in radio, we know what happened in the past. What happens next? Lou Wolf and the A's got to do the right thing. The A's have got to find a way out of the Coliseum and build a state-of-the-art boutique small baseball stadium, and then let the Raiders come in there, build a stadium, not for billions of dollars, a smaller stadium with the Raiders Hall of Fame that will work with the Raider fans for the next 50 years. And if Mark's got to come up with more money, the NFL will give him more. He'll look for an infusion of investments, maybe with a partial owner, whatever's going to happen. But none of this conversation matters unless the politicians in Oakland, the ones who don't care about you, they don't care about the sports franchises, they don't care about the history of these teams, they get voted in and out of office every 4 years and they come back looking for corporate jobs because they got voted out of office, they got to come to the table and say the Raiders are one of 32 NFL teams and we got to treat them that way, the way they treat teams in Los Angeles, New York, and even bleeping Cleveland and Cincinnati, where those bad franchises that have been run into the ground have better facilities and a better stadium than the Silver and Black, a team that's been in 5 Super Bowls, won 3 of them, and have Hall of Famers up and down Canton. Oakland politicians need to step up, and I think the Raiders will meet them at the table for the Raider fans and get them the best deal possible.
Vote for JT the Brick. I swear to God you could win mayor of Oakland right now if you put your hat in the ring with stump speeches like that. We got to get running, and I know you do too. You got a show that goes nationwide coming up at the top of the hour. Let's wrap up with this. What do you think of Hugh Jackson picking the Browns and how that relates to the Niners?
I think that's a really good job. I always liked Hugh when he was with the Raiders, and I think he really is an explosive offensive mind. He's going to stay in the division. He knows the personnel. He knows the opponents. It's just a really toxic run organization from top to bottom, bringing in Dee Podesta with sabermetrics and all that. It might be more complicated, but I think this is the best coach that they've had lined up for a long time, and I keep hearing Coughlin. And if Coughlin's interested in leaving his 11 grandkids back in New Jersey and going to San Francisco, how does Jed York not have the Coughlin deal signed tonight? How could Tom Coughlin come into the city of San Francisco a couple of weeks before the Super Bowl and them not introduce him at the Super Bowl as the new coach of the 49ers? Coming off Tom Sula, you can go to the great Tom Coughlin and they're balking on that deal?
It's interesting. I mean, we hear Mike Shanahan's name is back on the table. Coughlin's stock goes up by the hour. And Chip Kelly's still out there twiddling his thumbs, wondering if anyone's interested in what he's got to sell. It's always interesting with the NFL, my friend, and you always make it better. Thanks an awful lot, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Take care, my friend. So long.
J.T. The Brick. Love that guy. 888-957-9570 is the number, and we got a lot of people on hold. Whether you want to react to what we've been talking about, what JT just brought up, whether it be the Raiders, whether it be the Niners and Hugh Jackson, who's heading to Cleveland. Gosh, we got a lot to talk about. Guy says on the text line, Damon, yesterday's show was gold. I actually heard you get on the Raider roller coaster. I just didn't think we'd all have to ride it the same day. Yeah, I mean, we were 15 minutes away from playing, like, Raider fight songs and getting ready to declare this a great win for Oakland. And then everything changed.
Yeah, it all fell apart.
Everything changed. Stick around. Don't you change anything, especially your radios. This is the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
D. Bruce, JT the Brick is so on point about the goons in Oakland that we call politicians. Well, look, no more name calling. These are now people you got to get to work with if you want something done. So one of the promises we made, and I thought that this promise was going to come on the contingent that we had some sort of conclusion yesterday, which we didn't get. But I'm still going to stick to this promise. No more name calling. No more pointing fingers. No more assigning blame. It's time to get to work on a solution. And what we can really hope more than anything else is that the politicians in Oakland and Alameda sit down looking to do one thing, not through spending money, but just by taking down roadblocks, not putting them up. Let's grease the skids of business. Let's make it easier to do business than it's been done before. Let's make meetings more streamlined. Let's have a real honest-to-goodness dialogue with Mark Davis and the owners. Mark, it's time for you to go get a bigger war chest. You obviously need it. And the whole notion of the NFL giving him $100 million, it's $100 million, but it's really $300 million. You get $200 million from the existing stadium fund and the extra $100 million that he was promised yesterday. Maybe that number does go up if indeed the Chargers are, like, here's the thing. If the Chargers aren't going to use their $100 million, can the Raiders have it? Can the Raiders now have $200 million? Let me tell you why they should. Because $100 million is nothing to the NFL. Do you realize they pay the commissioner $44 million, but Mark gets $100 to help build a stadium? That's insane. $44 million is what you pay one guy, but it's the amount of money that you're going to sweeten the pot with. The $44 million is a paycheck to one guy. So $100 million is not that. Look at it this way. For $100 million, you do get 2.5 commissioners. You could get that, but it doesn't get you nearly close to where the Raiders need to be. All you keep on hearing is the $400 million gap. $100 million doesn't get you that much closer. $200 million doesn't. $300 million. Make it happen. Somebody please make it happen. For the NFL to disrespect, I know that St. Louis looks like the biggest loser, and there's no doubt St. Louis has lost its NFL team. But for the NFL to say our desire is to keep these home teams in their markets and then basically still have three teams on the Lazy Susan, spin it around, who knows where it lands yet, is insane. And it's disrespectful to anyone with common sense or intelligence or business acumen, which Mark Davis needs more of. This is Rob in San Jose. Thanks for the call, Rob. What do you got?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you guys doing today?
Good evening. Good morrow. How are you?
Good evening. Whatever it is. So I'm sitting here and I'm listening to all this going on, and yeah, it's kind of sad for the Raiders. The Chargers kind of got slapped in the face pretty bad in this whole thing, and he's going to have to eat a whole bunch of humbled pie for the next couple of years. My question is, St. Louis, I never thought St. Louis was that bad a market. I thought they were a pretty decent football market. When you consider that there's places like San Diego where they have such a bad situation, Oakland's got such a horrible situation.
Look, it's real simple. St. Louis is a great sports town, and to try to paint it in any other picture, you're painting incorrectly.
Okay. So my question is, how awful is the Dome, and how bad are the prospects of having another stadium in St. Louis? Because my thought process on this is San Diego just got thrown a pretty bad stick. Why wouldn't it be an option for San Diego to say, screw it, screw L.A., screw that whole base, and we're going to go somewhere that is a good sports place like St. Louis?
Well, the mayor of St. Louis today just said the NFL's not coming back to town, not on his watch. So they feel burned, and I don't think that they're going to be nearly as cooperative with luring another team. I mean, they just lost two NFL teams in 20 years. Or no, excuse me. They've lost. Well, they lost the Cardinals originally.
Right.
And now they lost the Rams. And, I mean, look, the NFL has sent a clear message. Yeah, I mean, every now and then you're going to have to say, well, it's not me, it's you. And the NFL has told the city of St. Louis, we're going to find something better twice now. So they would be suckers to go back again. But trying to pretend that the problem was with the fans or with the market size or anything like that is nonsense. The Edward Jones Dome, unfortunately, was built right on the edge of when stadiums started getting great. You know, the Edward Jones Dome is one of the last stadiums like that to ever be built. And everything since then has come with a lot more bells, whistles, sexy architecture, everything. Edward Jones Dome was like, it looked like the RCA Dome on steroids. So, you know, a whole bunch of new ideas and a whole bunch of brand new technology in terms of what stadiums now offer came into play in the following years after its completion. So they just missed. It's like the Comiskey Park. The White Sox built this soulless big baseball stadium right before the whole boutique ballpark push came back. Oops. Stinks when you build the wrong stadium. Ask a Niner fan. Let's go to, speaking of asking a Niner fan, let's go to Mark in San Rafael. How are you, Mark?
Hey, Damon. I just wanted to say one thing real quick about the Raiders. That whole premise is wrong. Your logic is good. But the reality is, if Oakland's going to chase out not a $100 million or a $1 billion company, but a $100 billion company like a Standard Oil, it's a minor league town. The politicians don't get it, and it's never going to happen. But with respect to the 49ers coach, I am terrified simply because of what the whole Hugh Jackson interview pretends, and that is that whole thing with Harbaugh really sent a message to a lot of people in the industry, and they know that they're going to, whoever comes in there, and Hugh Jackson wanted control, and that was the bottom line. It wasn't about cost of living. And if you've got Balky in place, you're never going to have that. And all I have to point to is look at that interview with Balky sitting next to Tom Sula and his quote about, oh, and somewhere in there, he meant to say, we're going to run the ball.
Right. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Now, I will say this. It's easy to say that that is clearly someone trying to put someone's words in their mouth, but he really wasn't saying anything. It's like someone had to step in there and save him. I'm not going to take that moment of Balky and say that defines him. I'll use all the conversations I have with him. Guy just doesn't have a lot of personality. He wants a lot of control, and he obviously has won every single battle he's walked into since becoming GM of the 49ers. At least on Jed's scorecard, he's the winner. So he's got every right in the world to feel like he's untouchable, and I wish you all very best of luck with that. I mean, the Niners, look, when you tell me about how great of the Niners are as, in terms of an opportunity, was Eddie D your uncle too? Like, I understand they got draft picks and they got cap room, but they have completely cantankerous, meddlesome ownership until they prove otherwise. So good luck with all that. And watch more desirable coaches with options take options elsewhere than come work for Jed. Jed needs you to win the Super Bowl by week 10 of your first year, which is really tough to do. Scott Baer is going to join us next hour. I'm looking forward to that. If you're on hold, looking forward to talking to you. We're going to come back with more of your calls all over the Raiders, all over the Niner coaching search. A little bit later on today, Matt Stymans is going to be joining us. We'll talk Warriors with him. Trey Wingo comes up at 5 o'clock, so make sure you stick around for all that as well. We got a ton for you this afternoon. Boy, when that vote went blind, money talked. And it's easy to see that greed and the money grab is the biggest reason for relocation. But there's another one. What's most to blame for the NFL world we're now all living in and ripping teams out of the cities that they've been in to adhere to? I'll tell you what it is next. We are as at fault for teams moving as the NFL is itself. And I'll explain in a minute.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.